Mr. Speaker, it's great to be here. I appreciate the chance to speak before the General Assembly. I thank you for generously letting me do that. You know, I never come to this building when I don't think how lucky I am to be here, or how lucky we are to have this great capital. The 8 years I was Secretary of State, I never came in here without being amazed at the opportunity to work in the capital of Missouri. You know, my mom and dad were dairy farmers. I was the first person in my family to ever go to college, and the idea when I was growing up that I would get to work here was about as far removed from me as a moonshot. I love what you do, and I'm glad to be here with you. And, you know, it seems like a long time ago since I was Secretary of State, but we do have term limits, and Chris Kelly, Nate Walker are still in the General Assembly, so maybe maybe it wasn't as long ago as I think. And then I saw Pat Conway. He was a young county clerk whenever I was the Secretary of State, so maybe it has been as long ago as I think since I was working here. You know, they're here, and all of you are here to do the people's work, and it is a great thing to get to do. When I was the majority whip in the U.S. House of Representatives, I used to tell our freshman members that you're going to appreciate being here a lot more if you'll approach every day with the idea that whoever is on the other side of the debate is as well motivated as you are. And you know, democracy is about seeing who has the votes that day to head the country or the state in the direction that it needs to go in. And somebody once said, democracy is not for sissies, but it is the greatest process in the history of the world. I think Churchill said that democracy is the worst system of government except for all the others. And none of it is all that efficient, but it is pretty miraculous when you think about how it works and the way it works. I don't have a lot of advice for you today. In fact, when I went to Washington a few years ago, I'd just spent 4 years as a university president, but before that I was here for 8 years as Secretary of State, and I thought, well, I think I'd better be very thoughtful about the kinds of things I say, the kind of advice I give as a former statewide official, because I could real easily get involved in what happens in Jefferson City every day, and that's not my job. So I decided, well, I'm just not going to give any advice to anybody in Jefferson City until we solve all the problems in Washington. As you can imagine, that's kept me pretty quiet about giving advice to people in Jefferson City. In fact, most of you have an iPad, or all of you know somebody that does. The last time the United States Senate passed a budget, nobody had an iPad, because iPads hadn't been invented yet 4 years ago. But we're going to pass a budget this time. I voted for a bill the other day, as did Senator McCaskill, that said, if we don't pass a budget, we don't get paid. And it's about time. So. The problems, you know, when you don't have a budget, there's an old saying in where we live that when you fail to plan, you plan to fail. So we've not been doing the kind of planning we ought to do in Washington. Of course, that makes it hard for every American, including people right here in the General Assembly, to do what needs to be done. And I think, frankly, we generally know what needs to be done. The problems we face are pretty big, but they're not necessarily all that complicated. I was at the University of Missouri on a campus yesterday, and a woman ran up to me and said, Senator Blunt, don't cut any spending. Don't cut any spending. It's a pretty indiscriminate view of what the government ought to do, but don't cut any spending. That's no longer the choice we can make, but we have to prioritize the spending we have. One way to do that is to take advantage of the form of government we have. One way to prioritize is to get back to the fundamentals of this unique system that we have in America that not many other people have. The constitutional system is unique, but also the federal system is unique. So we ought to all get back to the question, when somebody comes to you or me and says, this is a problem that needs to be solved, the first question should be, we should ask, is this really a problem that only the government can solve? Is this a problem for the government to solve? And if the answer is yes, then the second question should be, at what level of government is this problem going to be solved the best? And every one of you should fight everybody in Washington when it's clear to you that Washington is trying to take some responsibility from this capital that you can do better than people can do in Washington. And we ought to listen carefully to people in counties and cities and school boards when they say, don't try to do that from Jefferson City. Give us the ability and the authority to do it right here. You know, one of the infallible laws of government is that the closer you put the people who solve a problem to the problem, the more likely you're going to see that problem solved with common sense. The opportunities we have are great. You know, one of your big opportunities in education, the Missouri Constitution says it's your first priority. It's the first priority of state government, and clearly it's something that you do better than the states do it better, and local school boards do it better than anybody in Washington's ever going to do it. In fact, the great grand bargain that the great grand bargain we might make, and I'd be in favor of, is let Washington take back some of these programs they've created, like Medicaid, and run them, and give all of the education programs back to the state, and let you run them. We would have better solutions if that happened. But education, research at our campuses, 1862, 151 years ago, the federal government passed the Morrill Land-Grant College Act, and one of the specific reasons for it was so that we wouldn't have to duplicate efforts everywhere to find out the best ways to do things. And I'm a research-based person. I like it. I want to see us continue to do it. Energy is a great opportunity for us. What happens with the utility bill? One of the things that you talk about right here in specificity is one of the things that we talk about generally in ways that just simply mean we need to look for more American energy. Agriculture and transportation, great opportunities. If you look at a map of the country, you see things happen in Missouri that don't happen quite the same place anywhere else. The road systems come together, the railroads come together. We have the incredible benefit of this great river network that's going to be more and more valuable to us as we move more and more products, the Panama Canal. We are on the verge of really important things happening if we'll be sure that government does its part and no more than its part. That government becomes a facilitator, not an obstacle. We can do our best to create opportunities, and you can do that here. You know, this is a great work that you and I get to be part of. It is a great opportunity to really direct the future. Ronald Reagan said that even in a country as great as ours, that freedom can't be passed along in the bloodstream. That every generation of Americans has to secure freedom for itself. Freedom and opportunity are the things that you're about right here. I am pleased to be part of that with you. And Mr. Speaker, thanks for letting me come and say a few things today. Thank you all.